spaces in our hearts that only you can fill. There is a longing that is only for you, and you long for us. Speak to us and let us hear your voice, the voice of love that speaks our name. Let us hear your call and come. Amen. Paul's letter to the Romans, a paraphrase. God, you love me purely, but I don't trust that. I've been brainwashed by self-centered fear. It's an instinct, a reflex, an addiction. I can't stop it. I act in ways I don't understand. I believe the right things, but I don't live them. I don't do the good I mean to. I do the evil I hate. I'm not even choosing. My fear is. I'm on the right side of good versus evil, but I keep scoring for the other team. In my mind, I think I'm faithful to your love, but in reality, I'm controlled by my sin. I've been kidnapped. My heart has been hijacked. I can't get out of this. Trying harder does not work. I'm trapped. I'm doomed. What a wretched person I am. Who will rescue me? Thanks be to God. It's the beloved Jesus Christ. The word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the words of Jesus from the Gospel of Matthew in the 10th chapter. He said, "Come to me, you who are weary and carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The Gospel of the beloved Jesus Christ. That's why I'm a Christian. To me, the heart of our faith isn't any doctrine. It's not any belief whatsoever. I don't think God cares what we think. It's not any maneuver that Jesus executed to get me forgiven by God. I think God already forgave me. The reason I'm a Christian is because of Jesus. And the reason it's because of Jesus is those words. Not just that quote, that scripture, but I mean that invitation, that presence. It's not a demand. It's not some set of rules. It's not Jesus giving me instructions on how to be saved. It's not Jesus saying, "You need to do this, don't do that." It's Jesus saying, "Come here. Come to me." Sometimes I'm so proud of myself, and sometimes I'm so ashamed of myself. And either way, Jesus just says, "Come to me." It's hard for me to explain. It's hard for me to fathom what that's like. Maybe the closest is the way I feel with Beth or the boys. I can remember times when those guys would do something great and I just wanted to hug them. Or they'd do something terrible and I just wanted to hug them. I knew how awful they felt. I didn't need to fix them. I didn't need to correct them. I just wanted to hold them. In my experience, Jesus is not this 2,000-year-old character in a scripture somewhere. He is somebody who's right there. For me, it's not like in that old song, how do I know he lives? He lives within my heart. That's not true for me. My heart is way too small for Jesus. Jesus is more like somebody who's next to me. Jesus is the big presence, and I'm the little one. It's like I live in Jesus' heart if I let myself. I hold back because I want to be proud of myself. Or I hold back because I'm too ashamed of myself. And sometimes, whether it's pride or shame, it can feel like a heavy burden. And either way, Jesus says, come here. Set it down. Just set it down. Come be yoked with me. It's not so much asking Jesus into my heart. Jesus is already there. It's not getting down on my knees and ask Jesus into my life. It's allowing myself to just fall into Jesus' life. And what I discover is that when I am yoked with Jesus, I have to set down my burdens and pick up his. And it sounds daunting at first. It sounds scary because I think, well, Jesus' burden is, you know, saving the world. There's all that healing and all that forgiving, and I do not have the power of healing, and I have pretty flimsy forgiveness. I'm still angry about things that I haven't quite let go of, and Jesus has such wisdom, and I don't, and it feels like it's too much of a threat, of a challenge. Until I let myself or circumstances force me into being yoked with Jesus. And then what I discover is that his yoke, his burden, yeah, it has some pain in it. It has the pain of the whole world in it. But it's also got joy. It's got the entire infinite love of God in it. It's not got the pain of the world because the pain is so heavy that it can't land anywhere else. It has all the pain of the world in it because that's a little tiny part of the joy of God. Like when your kid is in pain, your grandchild is squawking, and you hold them because they're in pain. And your love is so much greater than their pain. And when I allow myself to be yoked with Jesus, my little burdens disappear. Sometimes I feel exactly like Paul describes in his letter to the Romans that Amy just read. I know the right thing to do, and then, I don't do it. And I know the wrong thing to do. I did it anyway. What is with me? He says, it's not even me. It's like sin living in me. I'm trapped. I'm a slave. It's an addiction. I can't get over it. I'm helpless. I'm stuck. Sometimes that's my burden. And Jesus says, I know. Just set it down. Take my burden instead. Sometimes I feel like Simon of Cyrene. He was just out there in the field doing his work. After a day, it's hot in the middle of the afternoon. He's coming into Jerusalem, minding his own business. And he runs into this bunch of Roman soldiers who are busy crucifying Jesus. And Jesus is carrying this big heavy cross and he stumbles and falls. And the Roman soldiers say, hey, you, help this dude carry his cross. And they shove him in. They just pick him out of the crowd. And there's Simon suddenly having to shoulder this heavy, awful, splintery piece of wood. this bloody mess that's been used over and over to kill people. And it will be used over and over to kill people. And right now, I have to help Jesus carry this thing to his death. That feels like an awful burden until I get under that cross and feel that weight. And feel what it's like with Jesus, with his arm around me, arm in arm. I'm right there with him. He's with me. And here's the really freaky thing about being yoked with Jesus. It doesn't matter how heavy the burden. He carries all the weight. He's got it. I'm just along for company. Blows me away every time. And I realize that it really is not just a gracious invitation when he says, come to me and take my yoke upon you. He actually really wants it. He really wants me. He really wants you. He's not saying you ought to come do this. He's saying, please, would you help me out? I need you. And we think, well, I don't have anything to offer. I mean, it's just me. And Jesus says, perfect. Just walk with me. I can't say I ever have that experience in any big, huge, mind-blowing, extravagant way, except for maybe once or twice. But it's always there, that reality. Somebody came to me once and said, I'm not a Christian, but I believe in Jesus. And I said, tell me more about that. And he said, well, I don't believe all that stuff that they teach in Christianity. But my problem is, I had this experience once, and some people would say it was a vision, but I don't call it a vision. To me, it was an experience. He said, all of a sudden, I was in this big, huge auditorium. And it seemed like there were thousands of people in it. It seemed sort of like infinitely big. And up in front, there were only just a few little chairs. And in one of those chairs sat Jesus. And somehow, I was in this space, I don't know how I got there, right down front. And Jesus looked right at me and said, I want you to come and sit here next to me. And I was scared out of my wits. I didn't know what that meant. I knew it felt wrong. I knew it felt like that was some sort of honor or test or something that I wasn't up to. And I just shook my head and sat there. And I don't remember this guy's name, but I remember he said that Jesus said his name. Jesus said, Ron, come sit with me. And he said, I stood up and I couldn't move. And I said, I'm not worthy. And he said, Jesus said to him, I know, but you're mine. And he came and sat with him. I haven't had an experience quite that dramatic, like I say, except for once or twice. I'll tell you about one of them. It was really small. It was really tiny. I was feeling really discouraged once in my life and in my ministry, just feeling like, this is stupid. And I was writing in my prayer journal. And I started writing about how stupid it was. And I was thinking about my ministry, my work, and so I just started listing all the things that were stupid about my ministry, ways in which I was no good, ways in which I had failed and hurt people and let people down and couldn't do this and didn't know how to do that and was always messing up with this and just kept going on and on and on. And I listed all the things in the church that I didn't like, And some of them were big, huge things like the way we treat certain people. And some of them were little tiny things like this guy that annoys me all the time. And I wrote his name down. His name was Desmond. I don't remember his last name. That's probably a good thing. And I went on for 2 pages with this list of all these things I didn't like. And then when I was done complaining about the church, I went back to complaining about myself. And not just my ministry, but like who I was. And my pride and my shame and my anger and all of my mistakes. And I talk too much and I'm too cocky. And I went on and on and on and on. I procrastinate little tiny things and big, huge things like, God, I really am not as faithful as you think I am. And I went on and on and on for another 2 pages. And at the end of that, I thought, oh, crap, this is really bad. And in some sort of frustration, I just wrote at the bottom of all this stuff, there, Jesus, take it. And I don't remember now whether I meant by that, here, this is the best you get, take me or leave me, or if I really somehow unconsciously meant, here's all my garbage, please, take it away. I don't remember that, but I do remember that the next thing I wrote, I also wasn't sure, even as I wrote it, whether it was me or Jesus. And now I'm pretty sure it was Jesus who wrote, thank you. That little thank you just floats in front of me all the time. That when I stand before Jesus and he says, here, come to me. And I say, no, look, if I come to you, here's the garbage you're going to get. Jesus says, thank you. That's all I needed. That's it. I just want you to be with me. I just want to hold you. I think that's what Jesus means when he says, come to me. You who are weary, carrying heavy loads, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That's why I'm a Christian. How about you? Think about that. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for Jesus, whoever he is to us. Help us to let go, to allow ourselves to fall into his life. God, we give you thanks for the mysterious, mind-boggling, wonderful love of Jesus, who comes to us every moment and says, I just want to hold you. Come be with me. So we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.